The passage that we're looking at this morning is found in John. I don't know where that came from. John chapter 6. Sometimes things just come out. I'm not going to read it this morning because it's a pretty long passage. It would be verses 25 to verse 71. And so rather than read it, we'll just kind of weave it into the message. In those days, the people were following Jesus in droves and really wanted to make him king. I mean, he healed the sick. And then they went to this place and gathered, and the crowd gathered to listen to him. And there was a huge crowd of 5,000 people, and Jesus fed them. Broke 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, and then they picked up the baskets, and there were 12 left over. At the end of that day, the crowd had seen the disciples get in the boat and leave for Capernaum, but Jesus wasn't with him. And so they waited for Jesus to come back. But pretty soon it became evident that Jesus wasn't coming back. So the crowd left for Capernaum themselves. When they found Jesus there, they got there and he was already there ahead of them. They were surprised. Now, there is a little story in the middle that we talked about last week in which the disciples went out in the boat in the middle of the night. The storm came up and the water became rough, and Jesus came walking to them on the sea and joined them in the boat, and things calmed down and they got to their destination. Of course, the crowd did not know that. And when they saw Jesus, they said, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus answered and said, "You've come looking for me, not because you saw God and what I was doing, not because you were aware that God was present with us as we were a crowd gathered together and as we broke bread together, but because I broke bread and fed everyone. You come looking for me because you like the miracles. You like the stories. You like the signs that are done." And as usual, he spoke to their question and he tells them to believe. They ask for a sign, hoping that he'll feed them again, like manna from Moses. "Remember, Jesus, when Moses was here, he gave us manna and was here every morning on the ground and we could pick it up and eat it." And couldn't you do that too? And Jesus said, "That's not what following me is all about. All that Jesus really has to offer is himself. The bread that has come down from heaven. Not as in the manna that has come down from heaven, but that he himself has come down from heaven." Well, they keep asking for signs, failing to realize that he is the sign, the miracle, the one that has come down from heaven, the true bread from heaven. And just like the children of Israel that complained in the wilderness, the people began to complain when he talks about coming down from heaven. I mean, these people knew his parents. He was from Nazareth, not heaven. Come on, get real. We know where you were born. But Jesus isn't derailed. The bread from heaven is alive, and so it's even better than the manna that your ancestors ate. This bread of heaven gives eternal life. And it's like the living water that Jesus offered the woman at the well that quenches your thirst deep within, the thirst of your spirit. This bread will quench your deep hunger, fill your deep hunger. The crowd is disappointed, disgruntled, confused, and most of all hungry. They've been grumbling like tired, hungry children. But rather than soothe the crowd and say, there, you'll be all right, like a mother might do, Jesus says, "I am the bread, the living bread." And Jesus tells them that they must eat of his own flesh. Well, that was a scandal to their ears. To say that you are to partake of my flesh seemed rather unwieldy and inappropriate, and they were aghast. Jesus, who they had hoped would be their king, is talking about eating their flesh. His flesh, what does that mean? And saying that he's living bread come down from heaven, and they knew differently, and they're disgruntled by all of that. Jesus also says that he is one with his Father and doesn't do anything that his Father doesn't tell him to do. And they don't get that one either. Well, John doesn't record what the people did and what their reaction was, but he does tell us about the disciples. The disciples were a larger group of Jesus' followers, not just the 12 that we often assume are the ones with Jesus. But there were more, and this was a tough thing that they couldn't understand, that they couldn't really wrap their head around. Jesus wasn't doing the things they thought he was supposed to do. He wasn't becoming king like they thought he should do. He wasn't following in the pattern that they had anticipated. And then he's telling them these things that make absolutely no sense to them. And they don't understand. Jesus knew that they were having a hard time, and the truth is that after this, a lot of the followers of Jesus, those disciples that were more than the 12, actually left him. They said it was just too hard to follow and to do this. His teaching did not make sense. And Jesus gave the same opportunity to the 12 that he had chosen to be with him. He said, "Do you also want to leave?" And Peter said, "But where would we go? You have the words of real life, of eternal life. We're committed to you. And we're confident that you are the Holy One of God." And to that Jesus said, "I chose you. I handpicked you." And that the Spirit words are life-making. As Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. And the person who aligns with me hungers no more and thirsts no more ever. Anyone who sees the Son and trusts who he is and what he does and then aligns with him will enter real life, eternal life." That's a powerful promise to enter into this eternal life that begins now, has begun, that we're in the middle of. This eternal life, you know, it isn't something that happens way off someday in the by and by when we all die and go to the sky kind of thing. This is a life that we live here on this earth. And it is a life that is with Jesus and is full of life. But as I reflected on this passage and I thought about the words that we sang earlier today, which are, "Let us be bread blessed by the Lord. Broken and shared, life for the world. Let us be wine, love freely poured. Let us be one in the Lord. See how my people have nothing to eat. Give them the bread that is you." How is it that we translate the words, "I am the bread of life," to those who have nothing to eat? As we all know, the issue of homelessness is rampant in Seattle. And even those who do have a place to live find it hard to afford life in Seattle as the cost of living escalates. I think daily. Not only have rents and housing gone up, but other costs of living have gone up. I find that my paycheck doesn't stretch as far as it used to. And people today are clamoring for answers, for help, just as they were in Jesus' day. You know, it's easy to be critical of the crowds that were pushing for signs from Jesus. Easy to be critical that they were just whining and wanting more signs. Yet the truth is, we want signs that someone is tending to the homeless. That someone is taking the problem that we face in our city seriously. And those in desperate need want signs that help will come, that there is an answer to their need. Spiritual answers seem hollow and inadequate. People walk away looking for something tangible instead. It's a paradox, I think. A paradox that we're called to something beyond the physical, to a spiritual life. That the true answer is in finding Jesus and knowing Jesus. And that we find that Jesus is bread. And that in knowing God, we find the real substance. We find the strength to fight, face each day. And we find the nourishment of hope. And we find life. Yet the truth is that we have physical needs as well. And it's hard to receive spiritual answers when one is hungry. We talk about the hierarchy of need and how until your basic needs are met, it's harder to perceive the needs that are higher up the scale. And so it's true. When one is hungry or doesn't have shelter, doesn't have a place that they feel safe, then it's hard to hear Jesus' words, "I am the bread of life." I think the answer to our dilemma is in the words of the song, where it says, "Let us be bread, blessed by the Lord, broken and shared, life for the world." And as I've thought about that and held that image, that we as a people are to be the bread to others around us. Sometimes we're tempted to jump in and create programs and do those kinds of things that automatically will just meet all of the needs. And yet we find that we can't do all of that on our own. And yet we are enough to do what we're called to do. We're enough to be faithful to everything that God asks of us. But the key is that we're willing to be held by God, to be held by the hands of Jesus, and broken and shared. That we're willing to allow God to use us in ways that God ordains for each of us. And that will look different for different ones. There's no automatic, well, if you do this, that's the answer. But it's allowing God to speak to us, to speak through us, to use us however God chooses. And so I've been sitting with that image of being broken and blessed and shared as life for the world. And choosing to allow God to do that in my life. And choosing for us as North Seattle Friends that we would be a people that are willing to do that because we recognize that that's the only way that we can translate Jesus' words, "I am the bread of life," to those who have nothing to eat. If we allow God to bless us, and in the breaking and sharing, then we become life to others. It means trusting God for the leadings. It seems to me that trust is a huge theme as we read through John. I think every story that I encounter, I think I couldn't do that if I didn't trust. I've got to trust for myself, for my next steps, for my leadings, for how I'm called to move forward, what it is that I'm to do. And I have to trust that God knows me and my limitations, that God will make up the differences, that God will direct me in places where I can be life, rather than into places where I simply get used up, burnt up, and discarded on the side of the road. Because God is gracious. And so we trust God for leadings, as we are willing to be broken and shared that we might give life. Let's wait in worship, wait in listening, as we invite God to speak directly to us about how it is that we are to translate Jesus' words, "I am the bread of life."